All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And we are called here today on Global Freedom TV, Great Awakenings, to speak the truth. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? So we glorify our Father in heaven for all of the revelations that he gives us. And we thank you for joining us to partake in this spiritual ministry, the spiritual fellowship. For when two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of thee. And we thank our Heavenly Father for blessing us and blessing Global Freedom TV. And we want to ask his blessing upon you, our audience, to bless you with good health, for the resources that you need, for the family and friends that you need, for the security and the safety that you need, and for your joy and optimism. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And ask that ye may receive, so your joy may be full. So we want to encourage you to rejoice in these days. And if you do not know God in heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to simply ask our Heavenly Father into your heart, and he will fulfill you, and he will give you eternal life, for he is the one name under heaven by which man can be saved. Tonight, we're going to be joined by a great philosopher again, the great Dr. Stephen Pidgeon, and there is so much to be discussing. Stephen, I want to jump in with a quick video before we launch in, just to kind of set the stage. This is a video that's going to be shared, too, on Friday, an Alex Jones interview that I did, but this one particular spot I wanted to open up in conversation with you real quick. It's only a few minutes. Here it goes.
The reason that they fear the white Anglo-Saxon, Christian, whatever you want to call them, is because of one simple reason. We are influencers. We can influence and persuade and communicate rationally, multidimensionally to all of the other races, tribes, ethnicities in the United States, and can convince the vast majority of them who are traditional people, traditional values, love family, love God, love traditional marriage. We can influence them unlike anyone else. And in influencing them, we automatically gain control of 65-70% of the electoral voting block that would then push this tiny fraction of psychopaths out of political power. So that is why Christopher Wray and Biden and all of these lunatics are obsessively, pathologically determined to blame white Anglo-Saxon people for being right-wing extremists, whatever the term is. They have to try and demonize the Trump-supporting, MAGA-supporting Republican conservative types because we are the key to changing this country. And I think your program is the tip of the spear of that, because you're anointing people, you're broadcasting and speaking to people in a way that moves their hearts, that consolidates and aligns and harmonizes their deep unspoken instincts and intuition into what is right, what is good, what is true, what is beautiful, what is healthy, what is natural. That is the key. Remember this too. Spiritual winds move political sails. And the spiritual wind is what's coming out of your voice, your mouth, and others. We're speaking spiritually, and also that manifests into physical reality. But that spiritual wind is going to move the political sails to the great awakening, to the great renaissance, to what we've been saying for the past couple of years now. So you're seeing a great separation in the United States and beyond between the sheep and the goats, those who believe in the traditional family values and the Constitution and all the great things of America, and those who are the neocon, lobotomized, hyper-vaccinated control maniacs that are again, pursuing this endless 9/11 agenda. So I wanted to just capture what's happening in the United States is their desperation to try and knock out the key influencers of society, which is the conservatives. The other thing that they're doing, and you said it before as well, and we've said it, they are lining up Joe Biden for an assassination, but they will do it when Gavin Newsom is positioned into the vice presidency position. That's why he went over to China last week, is to divulge their larger macro plan. And I suspect they will appoint Gavin Newsom into Kamala Harris's position. They'll either move Kamala Harris into Dianne Feinstein's position, either removing by force, assassination, or persuasion the woman that currently was appointed there. And because Kamala Harris can't be the president of the United States, she's not a natural born citizen. They will put Gavin Newsom into the vice presidency, and then they will assassinate Joe Biden to move Gavin Newsom automatically into that position and thereby develop the requisite hysteria, paranoia, fear, and chaos that they can institute another Boston Marathon bombing, a martial law scenario, like they did last week with the, I suspect, fake false flag shooter in Maine, where everyone who spoke at the podium afterwards did not have a Maine accent. That was very interesting to me. So I do suspect they're going to assassinate Joe Biden, move Gavin Newsom into that position. That is why Christopher Wray is pre-positioning the mentality of people to be prepared for an assassination. We've said this. They're going to assassinate Biden and use that to try and suspend the 2024 election. And anyone that is of the opinion that the Constitution and the Republic and the rules and the laws forbid it needs to recognize that the Constitution and our Republic and our notions of what the United States is and should always be has been shattered by these violent, lunatic, neocon, Zionist, Democrat, whatever you want to call them, who have usurped power, and rhinos included, and are part of this establishment. So they are pre-positioning with PSYOPs both the demonization of the white Anglo-Saxon Trump supporting MAGA Republican individuals. They are pre-positioning Iran as the assassin of Joe Biden. I would suspect they even assassinate Zelensky, maybe doing it together. But they are going to be engaging in hostility. We will never have a free and fair election in this country again until this current government is, by the constitutional means, overthrown as the Declaration of Independence instructs. It says very specifically, when the government becomes tyrannical and destruction of your rights, it is the right and the duty of the people to overthrow such government and reconstitute one which seems fitting unto them. That is not a declaration of insurgency or revolution or rebellion. That is an affirmation of the constitutional prescription for a government that has become tyrannical and unconstitutional, that has defied our ability to live as a republic.
And the founders defined it, and it's even enshrined in multiple state legislations and in state law, like in New Hampshire. It's called right to revolt.
Yes. Yes. And we see that in their facilitation of an invasion across the southern borders by violating the civil rights of every Texan, New Mexican, Arizonan, Californian, and other citizens of the United States by this organized planned invasion, where they would bring in a third world population to turn America into a third world.
All sorts of chaos.
Stephen Pidgeon, I just wanted to play that.
Personally do not
we'll play more of it on Friday in the full interview. But I'll hand it to you to get your feedback on that. I was just in generally saying Christopher Wray, the FBI, all of these people are pre-positioning to go after white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Trump-supporting conservative Republicans because we influence, because we're conversationalists, because we're native English-speaking people, because we are the leaders of the United States, and they have to take us out to control the Asians, the blacks, the Hispanics, the Indians, the Sikhs, who are much more docile. We're not, for all sorts of reasons. So they are positioning all sorts of things happening, that this foreign situation seems to be setting us up for. But I wanted to end it too with our Constitution is very clear that the when the government becomes tyrannical and destructive of your rights, which are not given to you by government, but given to you by God, and the Constitution of the government simply affirms them and are supposed to protect them, when the government becomes destructive of those rights, it is the right and the duty of the people to overthrow such government and reconstitute, recreate a new one. And I think we're at that level, but I'll hand it to you to get your feedback before we open up. Go ahead.
Well, it's very interesting, Scott, because recent polls have shown that better than half the Democrats want to use force against the conservatives, and better than half the conservatives want to use force against the Democrats, because they perceive them as arch enemies to their very existence. In other words, the parties have become so divided. Now, not the political parties that are managing the country, but the constituencies that support them have become so divided that there is nothing but hatred, and they consider the other an existential threat to their way of life. And so they believe, better than 50% of both factions believe, that ultimately force is what's going to be required. Now, part of this conclusion has to do with the fact that there has not been a free and fair election in the country since 2008. The 2008 election was rigged. And when you rig an election, you know, the people, the ignorati, who are the people who are managing this country right now, I call them the ignorati, they don't recognize that when you rig an election, you know, you win the battle and you lose the war. Because once you lose the war, once it becomes perceived and it becomes understood that the election is hopelessly rigged and is incapable of rendering a result consistent with the expression of the population leaves the ballot and takes up the bullet. And that is exactly where we're headed right now. And everyone knows it. The whole world knows it, that we're headed towards civil war. And it's not only a civil war here, but it's also a civil war in Israel. And it's also going to be a civil war throughout Europe. This is assuming, of course, that Israel survives the weekend, which is not very likely. But when we talk about this machination of the Biden administration is really hopelessly incompetent. The entire administration is showing signs of dementia and Alzheimer's. They seem to think that we're living in the 1980s, and they have no cognizance of the fact that if you're going to deploy, you know, two aircraft carrier battle groups, that you might want to have enough ammunition to put, you know, weapons on the planes, to put bombs on the planes and missiles on the planes, and put you know, torpedoes in the subs and so on and so forth. You might want to have that kind of ammunition. We don't have that kind of ammunition. We can't arm the aircraft we're deploying into the field because we sent it all to Ukraine. And we sent it all to Ukraine with nobody looking at the question of whether or not we should be dropping more than $100 billion in a nation that's not an ally, and that's not a member of NATO, that's not a member of EU. Why did we do it? And the real answer is we did it to protect the money laundering operation that was going on, that was spearheaded by the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, Victoria Nuland, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, John Kerry, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, all in on the money laundering operation that has been run through the most corrupt nation in the world, Ukraine. And they were, and the reason we have spent this amount of money in Ukraine at the expense of domestic spending in the United States is to protect that money laundering operation. Because the Democrats see that money laundering operation as an existential life support. This is how they achieve election victory. They have to pay off people to skew elections. You have to pay off people to interfere with elections, to invade ISPs, to invade routers, to change numbers, to use hammer and scorecard to give you a different result, to pay off 2,000 mules to drop ballots in the middle of the night, to pay off lawmakers who are going to vote out the ability to even hand count ballots anymore. All of this requires money, and that money has to come from somewhere. And whereas their preference would be to just print it through counterfeit means, or just drop it in their bank account if they could get away with it, they can't. Therefore, they have to use a money laundering third party. And that money laundering third party is this corrupt nation of Ukraine. Now, the corrupt nation of Ukraine, there's been a recent article that's been published in Germany showing that the lion's share of the humanitarian aid that has been shipped into Ukraine arrives in Lviv, and that's the end of it. And then it is dispersed and sold on the black market, and very little of it gets into Ukraine. Just as many of the weapons that were transited into Ukraine have been shipped into Hamas. Those are American weapons that are being used against Israelis because they were sold to them by Ukrainians on the black market. Many of those weapons, those same weapons that are being used in Gaza, are also being supplied to factions that are at the southern border of the United States. And there have been armed people that have come over the border. In fact, they just recently got a whole group carrying bombs with them, C4 ammunition, munitions coming over the border. So you see that there has been a concerted effort by the ignorati to destroy the border in order to create a third world population that would overturn the American. Now, when you talk about the white Anglo-Saxon, when you talk about the Anglo-Saxon point of view, You know, the Anglo-Saxon point of view, this nation was created by English people. That's who created the nation. It wasn't the French that created the nation. The French helped in fighting the Revolutionary War, but the colonies were populated by English people who brought forth English common law and English ideas that were predicated on 300 or 400 years of advancement. Actually, it was probably closer to 250 years. It was only from the Renaissance forward that the Anglo-Saxon mind began to really improve. And we see that it was the Englishmen that built this country, the 12 colonies and ultimately and you know, Cecil Rhodes outfit would become this nation called the United States. And it was from that group of people that Germans were introduced into the mix, French were introduced into the mix, Polish people were introduced into the mix, Irish were imported as slaves primarily into the country. The Italians were brought into the mix in the late 1800s with the opening of Ellis Island in 1893. And so what you see is that with the immigration policies that were brought here, the English people that formed the country allowed other Europeans in to continue to further the interest of the country and to build a country that was predicated upon English common law. Now, you know, you have to remember that the American system is distinct from the European system. The European system is built on the Napoleonic Code. And this is as a result of Napoleon conquering what had been the Holy Roman Empire in the Second Recreation, conquering that empire and imposing a secular code on the entire continent. So the entire continent operates on a Napoleonic theory of law. Now, it begs the question of whether or not the Napoleonic theory of law is equal to or better than or as good as the secular common law system we have in the United States, which has been corrupted by lawyerification. It is the creation of the bar associations that have destroyed the entire concept of law in the United States. And so justice has been perverted, and punishment and deterrence and rehabilitation have replaced justice and restoration, which is the true benefit of the law. And so we see a misguidance as a result of intrinsic corruption that happened from really the worst practices of British people being imported into the country. And this was done through a corrupt set of kings and secret organizations and so on and so forth. And many of them worshiping Satan, for instance, the Illuminati, which was formed in 1776 by Adam Wieshaupt in Austria, and that later co-opted the Scottish Rite Masons, which then became an Illuminati organization, but was brought forth by Albert Pike in the 19th century in the United States, who began to work with a guy named Mazzetti, who imported the Italian mafia into the United States and was given a pass by Illuminati controllers inside the government. So all of these things add up to an equation that we started out with a group of people that had a concept in mind that was built on the best thinking of men. One of the rational concepts that emerged out of the common law, and this was common law premises that were found in the early 1500s in Britain, is that a man has a right to practice free enterprise. And you saw the cottage industries begin to spring up immediately in Britain as a result of the judges recognizing that a free market creates a free economy that causes all boats to lift. And as a result, the Industrial Revolution was born, and this free market that was created because it was understood by judges, and a free marketplace of ideas that was understood by John Locke and consequently reiterated by Thomas Jefferson and repeated in the First Amendment to create a free marketplace of ideas brought forth an explosion that brought forth an extremely successful nation, a very wealthy nation, extremely progressive nation, a nation that moved ahead in all industry and manufacturing dramatically to bring us out of an age where the average person read books by candlelight that were manufactured on a printing press that were stamped by hand, that whose limits of transport were as far as his horse could go unless he was willing to get on a ship. You know, all of these things came to an end, and it came to an end with this explosion of thought that took place from a free marketplace and a free marketplace of ideas. And these freedoms were brought about by thinking men. Now, these thinking men have since been replaced by a bunch of bullies and a bunch of crotch scratchers, and who are, you know, patently ignorant, totally uneducated, and who run around in their emotional, sexualized fit, thinking that they're going to throw a purse at somebody and win a war.
And really, let me just augment that, are pathologically narcissistic. I've spent a lot of time observing them on all sorts of levels, very quietly and intimately, and analyzing every detail, every tittle, every tattle of their voice, of their language, of their eyes, of their head movements, of everything about them, and their tones, and again, they're split, they're double-minded, unstable in all their ways, they're delusional it's really remarkable and offensive and disgusting and infuriating and depressing at the same time. And the only way that I can survive it without breaking up the furniture is God shall give them over to strong delusion to believe a lie. He shall sear their conscience with a hot iron. And I go, okay, the Lord is doing this. But when I watch them, they're gone. They're absolutely out of touch. They are need to be in a straitjacket in a mental institution because they're believing their own regurgitated lies as if it is true. They're telling themselves lies about America, the American economy, the American military, we're the world leaders and everybody depends on this. No one agrees with that. No one looks at that in any part of the world. And if you look at the other news of the world, you're seeing every country abandoning the United States because of these personality disorders that have come from 40, 50 years of no-fault divorce, broken families, defeminizing women, emasculating men, breaking up the larger family from grandparents and uncles and aunts and the clan mentality, corrupting sexuality, pornography, homosexuality. Now this rotten fruit is creating the transgender demonism. It is a remarkable yet not surprising descent into the demoniac that we're becoming. That's what we're becoming. We are descending and decaying into the demoniac and becoming beasts. And also that's being amplified by the COVID-19 vaccine. I look around all the time and I see people who can hardly move. They can hardly walk. They can hardly lift their eyes. And I'm, oh yeah, that's gotta be a vaccine. That's gotta be the vaccine. But anyway, I just wanted to augment, this is not a personal bias or we don't like them. I am talking from a clinical psychological operations officer who studied this ad nauseum. And when I do profiles on these people, I'm all my Christmas lights start lighting up about just how mentally deranged these people are in the highest levels of the government, in the military, in Congress, and of course, the chief poobah of retards, Joe Biden, and the child sexual deviant, Gavin Newsom. But I just wanted to add that this is a clinical assessment of their behavioral, mental delusions and derangement.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when you talk about derangement, I mean, some of the remarks that Lindsey Graham made recently about no limit to the slaughter of children in Gaza. And of course, you know, the death toll in Gaza among children is the highest seen in any conflict in years and years and years.
Yep.
And of course, you know, this idea of deploying two carrier battle groups into the Mediterranean, you know, this is really pinhead thinking. I don't know. You know, it's like when I think about this strategy, Scott, I think, how dumb do you have to be? You know, I mean, this is Pickett's charge right up the gut again.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like, hello, is there anybody thinking at any level? Who are these generals that are in command of this thing that are doing these kinds of stupid moves? Well, it's because Biden believes that it's still 1986. You know, we've got the F-16. We've got aircraft carriers. Well, you know, have you ever heard of the Kinzhal missile? Have you ever heard of hypersonic missiles? Have you ever heard of these things? Have you ever heard of these drones that are being deployed now? Have you ever heard of the kind of technology, the tactical EMPs that are available to people? And now, of course, you know, Russia has launched this new Su-57, which, by the way, is quite an, I don't know if you're familiar with that aircraft. but it's really a phenomenal aircraft. I mean, you know, it's a sixth generation stealth fighter.
Yeah.
It's got a ceiling at 65,000 feet, and they've retrofitted with these super hypersonic, very small missiles, but these missiles have a range of 400 kilometers. So much farther than the radar can detect in an F-16. Now, so we put F-16s into Romania today. I think they're going into Romania today. These F-16s are being prepared to be deployed in Ukraine. Well, even if you put them in there with American pilots, which would be a huge mistake, but it wouldn't be the first time this was going on. I mean, they found German active officers inside the Leopard tanks in Ukraine, right? And so, you know, you're going to see active native NATO troops being deployed to fly these aircraft, and they're going to put them in danger with these Su-57s and these new missiles. I mean, forgive me, what they're called, the Su-44M. But these new missiles have the capability. They took down 24 aircraft in one day. They deployed these missiles, and they took down virtually everything Ukraine had in the air. They took down in one day. Gone. Everything gone. And the Ukrainian pilot's testimony was, we never saw them, heard them, or detected them coming because they're so fast. And so this is the kind of thing that, you know, it would help if Joe Biden, if somebody somewhere would brief Lloyd Austin and brief Joe Biden and say, look, you need to at least have some idea of the weaponry you're coming against. Okay, at least get something in mind. Now, when you talk about coming against the American citizen, these, again, the ignorati in management of this country, you know, again, these people are just dumber than a brick. They just have no idea what it is they're doing. I got to have power. I got to have power. Well, what's your objective? I got to have power. They'll burn their own country to ashes so that they can rule over the ashes.
That's right.
Right. This is how ignorant these people are. They're complete ignorati. And believe me, when they burn their country into ashes, they will be defecating in a chamber pot before it's all said and done because they don't know what they're doing. So you have this assumption, well, we can go ahead and give all our ammunition to Ukraine. Well, who's our supplier for the ammunition? Oh, well, that would be China. Okay, well, how's that going? Well, we're picking a war with them. So how's that going? Not going very well. You know, and then do we have, you know, even Dick Cheney during the 1992 conflict in Iraq, after Schwarzkopf had gone in and bombed them for 55 days, Dick Cheney came on television and said, okay, we're now in total war footing, that we have a constant flow of this kind of ammunition indefinitely. In other words, Iraq, we can bomb you every day for the next, you know, 725 days, which caused those guys to give up to newspaper reporters, right? Because the bombing was so intense. Okay, now, do we have any kind of total war footing when we went into Ukraine? Was anybody even talking about it? If we're going to give our Javelin missiles to these guys, if we're going to give our HIMARS to these guys, if we're going to give our 155 millimeter artillery shells to these guys, who's rebuilding them? Did anybody get in this $100 billion budget? Did anybody cut any money to the ammunition manufacturers to put something back on the table? No, it's all kickbacks into corporate leaders. It's all kickbacks to the corporate leaders, and a big chunk going off to the Biden criminal cabal, and then some moving off to the Democratic Party, and then the other paying off the big wigs and the head of these defense contractors who have managed to sell all of their defective Abrams, you know, the Abrams that overheat in battle, that are getting 7 miles to the gallon, right? 7 miles to the gallon, run for 4 hours, and then give off a heat sink wave for the next 36 hours so that they're easily findable by any heat tracking missile, you know? Those Abrams and, you know, and all of the defective stuff, all the gear that's old, tired, worn out, obsolete, and of ill effect in a ground war, we gave all that away. We didn't give it away. We sold it. If we claimed we gave the money to Ukraine, and it was all to purchase the weapons that were then strategically dumped in Ukraine to be blown up on the battlefield, which is what's happened to all of them. And so when you look at this idea of let's take out the American, let's destroy the American that remembers America. You know, there's a great song that John Hiatt just released with the blues guitarist Joe Bonamassa. It's called Down Around My Place, Down Around My Place. And it's a very great song. It's a great song. And he talks about how the young people don't know the paradise we used to live in, Scott. They don't know the paradise we used to live in. They don't know what it was like to live in freedom. They don't know what it was like to have a job readily available to you. Yes. That if you were moving along somewhere, you know, you wanted to, you know, you wanted to go out and her and you and a dog named Boo traveling and living on the land, or, you know, traveling in your Chevy or whatever. And then you'd stop and you'd get a job.
Yeah.
And you'd go to work and you'd settle down maybe. And then you'd settle down and you get a house with a white picket fence and you have a couple of kids and away you'd go. Right. But life was freedom. There was no people snipping in on everything you ever wrote and everything you ever thought, and every email you ever sent, every text message, because George W. Bush has a need to pay homage to the swastika down there in Texas, right? I'm sorry, but the Nazi ideology was a failed ideology. Why did they lose the war? And now they've lost the war twice. The same ideology, right? Yes. They went back and said, well, we lost the battle in course. Let's go do it again. Maybe this time we'll win. Well, you know, guess what? You didn't win. And you lost 500,000 troops in 2 years. So what are you people thinking? Does anybody have a brain anywhere? No, they're ignorati. But they wanted to follow that stupid ideology of Nazism instead of following the American way. And the American way is conceived by the English mind, was a way that was predicated upon a free market and a free marketplace of ideas that, as Noah Webster once said, I may disagree with every word that comes out of your mouth, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it. Because we need to have the articulation of free speech to be able to move the society forward. Yes. And these idiots that are censoring speech, they are brainless. When you censor a particular idea, you tell the whole world what they're telling you is true, and I don't want you to know it.
Amen.
And it gives it legs, it gives it life, it makes it go viral, and it becomes the intrinsic understanding of the whole world. The only one who doesn't know it's there and being understood as truth is you, the censor, because you think you shut it down. And so you go back to your cozy little desk with your Israeli citizenship and your desire to kill people and start giving permission slips to slaughter women and children. Hey, I got an idea. Let's set up a refugee camp where everybody from North Gaza can go down to the refugee camp. Get out of North Gaza. Go down to this refugee camp. And once they're there, let's put a 1,500-pound bomb in there and tell them, oh, we suspected there was a leader of Hamas in there when we killed 500 women and children.
Blowing up convoys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just beautiful, right? And they think that no one in the world sees it. Well, the whole world sees it.
Let me augment that. You're right. The whole world sees it, Stephen, and they've seen it for 3 weeks. The moment this broke out on that weekend, I said, I expect to see a flotilla of ships bringing aid and comfort and rescue to the Palestinians across the Mediterranean from Turkey or elsewhere. I think that's coming, like a Dunkirk rescue. And Turkey will not back down if Israel blows up any of their ships. I think that will trigger a great war. And also every country pulling out their consulates and ambassadors and ending and severing diplomatic ties from Israel. I said that needs to happen, and it is happening. Bolivia's done it. Chile's done it. Jordan, all these countries are in the process of doing that. And that hasn't even scraped the surface. The one thing I focused on when I was in Army Psychological Operations and at the State Department was the religious edicts and the leaders that spoke the call to jihad and inflamed people. And this is that wind is coming, is this has been building and swelling because of killing women and children and stuff. You could see millions of Muslims from Pakistan, from Iran, from Iraq, from Indonesia, from Yemen, from all these countries descending like that great scene from Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, when they arouse the ants in the jungle. Millions of ants come out. And I think these millions are going to consume Israel and Jerusalem, and they are incapable of defending against it. And the United States ships are going to be sunk in the Mediterranean by Kursaal missiles or torpedoes or something. I think we've opened up a Pandora's box. And the United States is going to, have all sorts of horrors and lose, and Israel will, to the point where I don't even think Israel could throw up its hands and say, hey, we're going to sacrifice Netanyahu. He's a dead man. We're going to execute him. All these guys that did this, we're going to charge them with war crimes. They overstepped their bounds. Whatever their excuse, they need to pray that the Muslim world doesn't devour and consume them. But quite honestly, I think that the Muslims are so pissed off at this that they are going to go, this is enough. It's almost like you're playing a football team, two teams on the field, Hamas and Israel and the United States. But you know what, Stephen? All of the fans in the stadium are going to run onto the field and attack Israel and the United States. And
well, there's several things happening there, Scott. First of all, from a PSYOP point of view, a psychological officer's point of view, Nusrallah, the head of Hezbollah, he came out and quoted a passage of the Quran, and I think it's from Il-Bara. And in this passage of the Quran, it is, make war against the Jew anywhere and everywhere. So this is not, whereas they were expecting him to come out and say, okay, we're going to have a declaration of war on Friday. No, he came out and said, this is a declaration of war of the Islamic world against all of Jewry all over the world. Okay, so when you talk about the spiritual leader making this kind of a statement, this is a call for violent jihad against all Jewry worldwide.
Yep.
Okay, now that's what's happened. That's premise number one. Premise number two, the Iranians and Hezbollah have come out and told Israel, look, you have until 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, and if you haven't retreated out of Gaza and stopped your invasion, then it's war, yes. Period. It's 3 o'clock Friday, then it's war. And when it becomes war, the Iranians said, the Israelis contacted them and said, we need to discuss what's going to happen for some kind of a peace process. And the Iranian response was, that would be nice, but when this is over, there won't be an Israel to discuss anything.
Right. That's right.
And this is the kind of thing that's happened. Now, this bombing that I just talked about at the Jabalah refugee camp, where they dropped a bomb on 500 women and children, claiming that there was a Hamas leader there, when everyone in the world knows that the inside Israel is this discussion that all Palestinians are animals, and that they're all terrorists, and that if you kill a woman, you kill the breeder of a future terrorist. If you kill a child, you kill a future terrorist. They're all terrorists, therefore they all need to die, and they need to die indiscriminately.
And they're justifying it with the Amalek reference.
Right. And then you turn around and you have Lindsey Graham give them a free pass and say, there's no limit to the number of women and children you can kill. Feel free to do it. And I'll make sure that the United States continues to support you with money and ammunition. And, you know, when I think about them dropping a 1,500-pound bunker buster on a residential building, the Israelis didn't build that bomb. We built that bomb.
Yes.
The Israelis didn't build that bomb. We built that bomb.
And every other Muslim nation is looking at that, too. You are doing this, America, Christian America. Erdogan is saying you want to put the crescent against the cross. That's where you're going with this. And I'm sitting back going, this doesn't speak for me. This doesn't speak for Christianity. I know it doesn't speak for you, but they have, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, all of these Republicans that were against funding Ukraine suddenly shift and say, oh, we've got to send everything to Israel, Trump included. Every single one of these people have shot themselves in the head, and they have positioned America to be attacked violently from every direction, and maybe that was their plan, to bring in the police state and hope that everyone cowers in their home and is in lockdown wearing masks and whatever else, because they've lit that fuse, and I'm fearful that it is going to go off, because you know the mob. You may have some real dumb shits, but when they get wind of Nasrallah, when they start to get influenced, then suddenly they're turning into wind-up little robots that are going to take vengeance on America in every way that they can.
Well, the martial art plan and the total tyranny state, the fascist CBDC social credit score state that they have planned is going to have about 2 weeks of life total. The markets are already in complete crash. Again, the ignorati do not understand a single thing. You can't do any of this without money, period. And you can't, and we're not talking about fiat money. We're talking about real currency, of which you have none. In addition to having no real fiat currency, they're accumulating a national debt now at the rate of $1.5 trillion a month. Additional indebtedness to the budget at $1.5 trillion a month. And by the time we clear New Year's, it's going to be two and a half a month. And by the time we get to April, it's going to be $5 trillion a month. That's going to be in U.S. indebtedness. We've hit the hyperinflationary spiral. And they could care less. Oh, well, let's just give them $100 billion. Let's just put another $60 billion over here. Let's put $40 billion over. Let's put $14 billion there. Let's do this. Well, how about $1 billion for Maui? No, forget it. How about $1 billion to finish the wall on the southern border? No, we're not doing any of that. How about $1 billion to repatriate the people in Ohio that went through that hazard waste event? No, we don't have any money for you Americans. We don't have any money for you. None, zero, none. Because you are the enemy. Because you remember the free state. Because you remember the free market. Because you remember the free marketplace of ideas. You are the enemy. You're the enemy. We expect to have nothing but servant, peasant, goyim, following our every order and command and being the servants that wipe our boots. And we're the 1% elite that's going to control all this. We're going to do all this, blah, 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 blah. They fail to recognize that takes money. It's the same thing that caused the Soviet Union to collapse. Communism takes money. And if you didn't have the support from the Axis, from the Allies during World War II, they would not have survived as long as they did. Because communism takes money. It only lasts until other people's money runs out. Yes. And the money has already run out in the United States. It's already run out. So now what you're going to see is, you're going to see these guys try to effect this tyranny. Well, we're going to declare martial law. We're going to move Gavin Newsom in. We're going to declare martial law. We're going to move, you know, Kamala Harris over here, whatever Kamala Harris is going to do. I suspect that there's going to be something else. And with the assassination of Joe Biden, I mean, come on. I saw the canceled checks today from his sister-in-law handing him a check for $49,000. It was a direct kickback in violation of Foreign Practices Act and clear act of treason, taking kickbacks and bribes from foreign powers while you're in office. And there's, yeah, you know, nobody's going to say anything. Oh, well, Joe, you know, why don't you go sniff another girl? You know, what can I tell you? Everything's good. Everything's fine. These people are above the law. There is no law. There is no justice system. There is no rule of law. There's no constitution. There's no constitutional government. You have a seized government full of criminals who are all part of the criminal cabal, and they're in control of a defense industry that is using the defense industry to go out and pick a war with the entire world, thinking that they're still in 1986 when Reagan built the greatest military on earth. They have no cognizance of the fact that Pakistan has 300 nukes, China has 400 nukes, Russia has 8,000 nukes, North Korea probably has 150 to 200 nukes. This doesn't mean anything. They have no idea. We do not have hypersonic missiles. Iran has hypersonic missiles. Russia has hypersonics. China has hypersonics. Even Korea has hypersonics. We do not have hypersonics. Why don't we? Because we killed the marketplace of ideas 20 years ago when the Twin Towers came down so that George Bush could put on his black Gestapo uniform and run around and say Patriot Act and homeland and talk about the homeland. You know, hey, what happened to America? We never had language like homeland. We were Americans. This was America, not a homeland. It was America, you know, and this kind of stuff was completely aborted by these savages who seek nothing, narcissists seeking power, period. That's what they are. And they have no skill set. They're parasites at best. They're parasites whose sole function in life is learning how to obey their corporate masters and take money for doing so. And they suck off the public trough. They're just parasitic scum. And they can call themselves Republicans or they can call themselves Democrats, whatever else they want to call themselves. They're parasite scum who operate in office in order to serve a corporate master that has no allegiance whatsoever to the United States of America. That's what we call the United States federal government. So the federal government is going to fail, and it's going to fail very soon. We're not talking long from now. You know, a number of the analysts that I listen to are saying, oh, yeah, the government, Wall Street has got maybe 2 weeks before we see a cataclysmic crash. And we're not talking about just any kind of crash here, Scott. We're talking about go to zero.
Yes.
Go to absolute zero. And when it goes to zero, the Ponzi scheme, it's been a Ponzi scheme since 1998. Since used to run the, not Bernanke, but the fellow before him. Used to run the Federal Reserve. He was the first one to introduce quantitative easing, which is a fancy name for saying rig the game by plugging in federal money to cause the stocks to go up. So the stock market has been a Ponzi scheme since 1998. It has absolutely nothing to do with PE ratios, price earning ratios, nothing to do with that whatsoever. You don't have to have any PE ratio. You just have to be listed and have certain brokers buying into your stock. Then they pump and dump, pump and dump, pump and dump. And the Fed is right there bailing it out with money that they just create out of whole cloth. How about we just send you over $16 trillion? How about that? Which is what they did in 2008. They hit a button and sent European banks $16 trillion. Was there federal oversight over this inflationary event? Zero. None. Did anybody ask for permission? None. It was done at the Federal Reserve level. Oh, click, send it. And so here we have another queen ignorati, Janet Yellen, who's completely out of her mind, doesn't know what she's talking about.
Dual Israeli citizen.
Yeah, another dual Israeli citizen weighing in. Oh, yeah, we can fight two wars. We can fight three wars. We can fight four wars. Well, we lost in Afghanistan after $11 trillion. We lost in Sudan. We had to evacuate out of the embassy in Sudan. But what are you talking about? We can fight a war. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that we just lost Ukraine. Yeah. Okay. $100 billion. Why didn't you send $100 billion to me? I'd have gotten a better investment than that. I could have put it at 1% interest rate in some certificate of deposit and done better than that. $100 billion peed down the toilet. And while we were at it, we completely disarmed all of Europe, and we completely disarmed NATO, and we completely disarmed the United States with no intent, plan, or idea about how we're going to rebuild the armament. Where's the total production going on?
And you vaccinated how many people in the military and the population with this COVID-19 that's causing death, heart problems, brain fog? Everybody that gets it is going to die and degenerate and decay. And if the Israelis have given 90% of their people the real McCoy, the real COVID-19 vaccine, I expect they're all going to die the moment they hit adrenaline when they go, you know, stepping into combat. This COVID-19 vaccine is the death of, what, a third, two-thirds of humanity automatically? I mean, that's the real crime. And, you know, the Hispanic invasion from the southern border and third world invasion from the southern border from people that can't read or write and that behave like vile, savage dogs coming into this country with nothing but a hysterical bloodlust to rape and pillage and steal without any long-term idea, without any long-term agenda. They just are going to come into Disneyland and break. They're like the black mob that goes to Target, and like a mindless bunch of baboons on cocaine go into Target and steal everything they can without even thinking, wait a minute, this Target is where my mom or my aunt or my older friends or my come in and get their insulin and their food, and they're in wheelchairs. You've gone in and destroyed it. They're going to come in and do the same thing to the United States, or try, but that's where you're going to have the warrior American patriots stand up and say, nope, we're done with FBI, ATF, any law enforcement, any federal government. No, we're done. We are standing up as private citizen militias, deputized citizen group, veterans groups. We will restore order in our town. We don't care what happens in other states and other towns. But in our town, in our county, we're going to restore order. It's like the Chechen leader, and I'll end it here, Stephen, the Chechen leader who said today or yesterday, because of the Dagestan unruling mob that went in there into the airport and stuff, he said, hey, anybody that defies the police and law and order gets a bullet in the head. We'll shoot three times in the air, but the fourth bullet is going to shoot him in the head. If you go in and try and be a mob anarchist in Chechnya. This is the Chechen leader. And I think attitude is going to rise up in people, certainly like me, who are going to say, no, we're not going to even tolerate conversation. If you're coming in to rob, kill, and destroy, and rape and pillage, you're dead on arrival.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you, you don't have to worry about Americans rising up to end the FBI and the ATF and the DOJ and the IRS and all these other totally corrupted agencies, totally corrupted and weaponized agencies.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about that at all. The dollar goes to zero, and that's the end of those agencies. They don't exist anymore. It's just like the KGB doesn't exist anymore. The GRU doesn't exist anymore. The USSR doesn't exist anymore. The ruble went to zero. And when it did, that terminated all of that. And when that stuff is terminated, and this is the point I made on Radio Free Alaska this week, when the dollar goes to zero, all of those people who are engaged in that corruption, who have been robbing from their neighbors, stealing from their friends, enforcing laws that they knew were corrupt, covering up for pedophilia, covering up for child sacrifice, covering up for child trafficking, covering up for corrupt judges and these corrupt politicians, and covering up all of these great crimes that these people have been committing, all of those people are suddenly going to be without a group. Well, I'm a member of the FBI. You bother me, I'll get on the radio and we'll hunt you down like a dog. Well, guess what? You guys don't exist anymore because nobody's got a paycheck. There is no FBI. All you got is a bunch of vacant buildings. Your badge means nothing because there is no government, because there is no dollar. And because there is no dollar, there is no government. And because there is no government, you're just another guy. And as far as I can tell, you're another guy with a criminal past that's as long as my arm and a corruption that's so deep it's in your bone marrow. Why should you be alive any longer?
Yes, yes, yes. The crimes and the damage and the injuries that you've done to the American society, to individual patriots, kicking in doors of women who went to PTA meetings to protest the homosexualization of their children. That's what the FBI did full automatic weapons and dressed like they're going into a fight in Afghanistan. That's what the FBI does to the Americans, just following orders. I think you are going to see a bloodletting for those crimes and those acts of I don't know how to describe it, vengeance, bitterness, a betrayal of Americans. Their days are numbered because, as you said, I'll put it this way, Stephen. You recall in Bosnia in 1991, 1992, when the Soviet Union fell, Bosnia, Sarajevo, the whole Muslim jihadist entity mobilized and went in and destroyed the Serbs. Now, they had been neighbors. They had been living in peace and comfort. But when Soviet Union collapsed, suddenly all sorts of jihadists, CIA, no doubt, were fomenting the flames, but they went into Bosnia and killed and raped and pillaged Serbs in Sarajevo and elsewhere, and you had that great, great conflict. I suspect the same things when the United States collapses in many ways, you're going to have possibly that kind of scenario that needs to be understood and defended against and prepared. People need to be prepared to defend their homes and their streets, their towns, their courts from these sort of brigands with absolute ruthless self-defense codes.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that that the way I see this going is like this. You had the San Francisco Gay Choir come out and sing, "We're coming for your children." Okay.
Wow.
That was the biggest mistake they ever made.
Yes.
Because when this financial collapse comes, all of them are going to be hanging from lampposts.
Yes. And that's probably mercy. That's mercy. Because what they should be is skinned alive and allowed to be left in public in a stock and maybe slowly hung. But, and all their pictures or all their faces, because remember they did the Brady Bunch thing? They put all their faces up there. I'm going to have to find that video and put it up again saying, "We'll convert your children." Oh, really? I'll tell you what we'll convert you into, or other people will, hamburger.
Yeah, well, that is very likely going to happen. Now, this is the thing, that when you push the pendulum out, which, and this pendulum has been pushed out, by the way, by radical Talmudists, okay? Yes. Radical Talmudists who have sought to codify the right to have sex with a three-year-old, which is provided for in the Talmud, as provided they're not over the age of nine, and the right of sexual or 18 different sexual orientations to be existing. All of this is Talmudic literature. This has all been, the whole LGBT flag movement has its origin in Tel Aviv. It's a form of social terrorism, and it's been launched against the Christian world and against the Muslim world. The Orthodox world and the Muslim world and the African world have said, this is not us.
Yes.
Don't bring that here. We're not interested in seeing it. The Christian world, because of the doctrine of lawlessness that's been incorrectly taught in Christianity in the Protestant world, has been susceptible to this kind of terrorism.
Yes.
This kind of terrorism has been extremely successful. But they push the pendulum out as far as they, when they start saying, we're going to let your seven-year-old, that we're going to manipulate in class with some pedophile teaching him in class, we're going to manipulate him until he decides to cut his own genitals off. And if you say anything about it, we're going to take the child away, put you in jail, and then castrate him in accordance with his will. Once you get to that point, you push the pendulum out as far as you can push it. Now, when the floor cuts out, what the floor is cutting out right now, come Friday afternoon in Israel, come 3 p.m. in Israel, because you can rest assured the Israelis are not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They're advancing in Gaza. They're not going to stop the slaughter of women and children. They're not going to stop the depopulation genocide that's going on there. They're not going to stop. And because they're not going to stop, they're going to have Jordan, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has condemned, has strongly condemned, and is talking about expelling the Israeli ambassador as a result of this bombing of Jabalah. Turkey has already gone on board and said, we're coming for you. Pakistan is gearing up. Pakistan has told Turkey, we'll give you all of our nuclear weapons if you'll deliver them.
Yes.
And, you know, and so this is the kind of thing that's happening. And Iraq has now committed, Iraq came out formally today and said, we're going to expel every foreign troop in the nation of Iraq. We don't want any foreigners here anymore. So they have declared jihad against all American bases that are located in Iraq.
Yes. That Trump loved to say, oh, we've got troops in Syria, too, because we want to take the oil. I love the oil. I'm going to steal the oil. Really? This is a death knell to Trump's presidency, or his hope to return to the presidency as well. His blind stupidity of embracing these Talmudic Israeli Zionists, which he's also been exposed as Masonic in his Trump Tower and all sorts of things. This has exposed everybody, and it's exposed
Trump. Yeah, it has. And so with this going on, this Islamic Jihad now that's coming on Friday afternoon, it's a certainty. And what you were predicting, you know, hundreds of thousands of troops coming over the Jordanian border, hundreds of thousands coming over the Syrian into the Golan Heights. Hezbollah is going to launch. Hezbollah has been strategically plucking all the Israeli intelligence gathering apparatus in the northern end of Israel, blowing up radar stations, communication towers, so on and so forth. They've plucked all of this.
That's what you do before a war, is you destroy their communications and radar.
And so that, so Hezbollah has carefully done this, and now they are prepared. And Hezbollah is going to move very, very quickly. And I think the Israelis are going to be surprised how far into Israel Hezbollah will be in day two. They're going to be as far south as probably they'll be as far south as Haifa. They will have probably overcome Tiberias. They'll be moving against Afula and joining up with the West Bank, the Samaritan West Bank. With those people who also have been ruthlessly mistreated, completely unarmed civilians. Oh, we're going to come in and blade your home, bomb you and shoot you, whatever.
Yeah.
And so this kind of thing is, and so when this turns, now Turkey has deployed 100 ships.
Yes.
100 ships. And so they've moved their whole fleet into the Mediterranean. And unlike the Americans who, one of their, we're tough. Okay, guys, let's go right up the middle, stand there and hold the position.
You're going to have every American ship sent to the bottom of the Mediterranean and every plane shot out of the sky with the missile systems that are embedded there with Russia, Turkey. And Russia is going to give the best they have to Iran, to Turkey, to Syria, because it's now they have to defeat the U.S. or else they know if the U.S. defeats everyone else, it's Russia's just going to be the next one falling. So that's their mentality. And they're going to destroy everything that the United States has in the Mediterranean if what you're saying, like on Friday, they start pouring in. Because if the U.S. tries to react thinking, well, we're just going to fly over and bomb and kill everybody and we're going to send in SEALs and special forces, every ship and every American asset will be destroyed.
Well, there's already been a test run of the B-1B bomber out of the Incirlik airbase in Turkey. And they flew back to Fairweather in Britain And so they had what was called the hot fueling event, where they came in with the engines fired up and refueled, with the idea that they would come in from fair weather, refuel at Incirlik, and then move on to bomb Iran. Well, guess what? Incirlik is a Turkish base. Now, if this thing goes to war and you're flying in your B-1 bombers, hey, well, I'm sorry, you guys don't have permission to land. Well, we're out of fuel. Well, you know, try Athens, right?
You can land, but we'll take your plane.
Yeah, yeah. That's another aspect that'll happen. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing this is this strategy. You know, look, if Lloyd Austin is the one that's doing this strategy, he's an abject moron, okay? I mean, the strategy that was used in Ukraine was some of the worst battle strategy ever seen by anyone. Didn't you look to see what happened in World War II at the Battle of Kursk? Did you look at all? Did you review any of that? Did you look at the geography? Did you expect any Russian expression? What did you look at? What did you do? Absolutely nothing. And they're trying to pin it on Zelensky. Well, Zelensky's the one giving the orders. Zelensky was taking the orders, and he was taking the orders from Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley, and both two dunces. These guys, absolute dunces. This is the worst strategy I think I've ever seen ever in any battlefield.
Well, and you're giving Ukrainians, you're assigning Ukrainians, which are enough, you know, which are maybe a couple IQ points below chimpanzees. You're giving Ukrainian beer belly, knuckle dragging retards who really, I've known them. They are idiots. They're retards. You're giving them weapons and you're thinking you're going to train them to fight the Russians, which are some of the most strategic, conservative, deeply rooted, historically mindful people about how they have suffered under Nazism and fascism in the past. They've been slow to rise to this, but you've given all this to a bunch of tattooed, covered, retard, fat, beer-bellied Ukrainian mongoloids, and allow them to torture and kill Eastern Ukrainians, and you think they're going to survive? I'm amazed at the mercy that Russia has shown, but I think that day is over as well. I think Russia is going to go in, and overnight you're going to see all of them gone, all of them dead in Kiev and all of the most important cities with a Russian flag saying, It's our country now.
Yeah, and that's true. That's happening as we speak. In fact, the Russian paratroopers have begun an offensive operation because the last meat grinder that they could put together was Avdiivka. And Avdiivka, they did the same thing. That they basically set up the same strategic approach that they had in Bakhmut, which was to create a horseshoe and then to invite the Ukrainians to feed all their reserves into the meat grinder, which Vladimir Zelensky was happy to do because he, too, is an abject moron. But he was taking orders from, you know, from Lloyd Austin. You get in there, you break a hole through that battle line. You put whatever troops it takes, however many it takes, whatever it takes. We'll send you more tanks. We'll send you more artillery. We'll send you more Bradleys. Get those troops in there and go right up the gut and get them. And they were sitting ducks. 85,000 dead later at Bakhmut. They retreated. They gave up Bakhmut. And it would have gone on, except that it became moot. It became a moot issue. It's like, okay, we're not going to do Bakhmut anymore. And now this is the case in Avdiivka. They've set up the same horseshoe. The only problem is they don't have any Ukrainians to put in there anymore. The Russians are like, we're waiting for you guys to send in reserves. We don't have any reserves. We don't have any tanks left. We don't have any aircraft. You blew everything out of the air. We don't have any Bradleys left. We don't have anything. What are we supposed to do? One of the commanders told Zelensky, he said, go retake that city. And he said, with what? I don't have people. I don't have crews. I don't have ammo. I don't have anything.
And see, that is a testament to the stupidity of the Ukrainian mind, is that they didn't have some General Patton rise up in June, some Major Stauffenberg, who was the German officer that tried to blow up Hitler and overthrow the Nazi regime. Where is the Ukrainian Stauffenberg saying enough back in May, June, saying, no, we are not going to destroy the flower of Ukrainian male youth in a reckless, maniacal rush in a Gallipoli scene. We're settling this now. And we're overthrowing Zelensky. We're putting in a new... Where was that? It's never happened. Never. It's never occurred. That tells me Ukraine is a bunch of mongoloid chimpanzee, lobotomized chimpanzees, by the way, that are so stupid and have no character that they don't even have a Major Stauffenberg or anyone that would rise up and say, no, 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 we're stopping this. We're going to Russia and saying, let's cease and desist. And that has not happened, Stephen. And it tells me that Ukraine, you know, is beyond a bestial state of morons to have allowed this to go that far. But I'll get it back to you.
Well, you know, it's proof that the CIA PSYOP was 100% effective.
Yeah.
They played the Stepan Bandera card.
Yep.
They Nazified the country.
They put them on drugs.
They put them on drugs. Yeah, that's a big part of it. The massive drug campaign that they had them on, the massive propaganda campaign. And then you couple that with the strident fascism that came out of the Azov battalion, that came out of the right sector, that came out of Svobodna, that came out of these hard right wing groups that were beating up people in the street, beating up women, taking you out to the dump, you know, and thinking they were smart, you know. And then they'd show up at the police station. You'd call the police and say, hey, I got beat up by these guys. And the cop would be sitting there with the three guys that beat you up standing behind him. Oh, these guys?
Yeah.
They would never do anything like that. And this was the kind of thing that was going on. And so you had a lot of people fleeing, a lot of Ukrainian speakers. I mean, look at the refugees. Look how many people left.
Yes.
What happens is with the refugee problem is that the smart people and the people that had the ability, the people that could see the forest for the trees, left.
Yes.
That's what they did. They got in their car, they drove to Poland, and then they got out. And they got out as quickly as they possibly could. As soon as they saw what was going on, they left. And that left the people that couldn't leave there to be exposed to this Nazification campaign. And you're right. I mean, when you see these press gangs that are working on the corners, you know, in Odessa and in Lviv and in other places, oh, there's a young man. They get out of their van and they run over and they throw a chokehold on him.
Right. Right.
And then they haul him into the van, pounding him in the face while his girlfriend's like, don't take him away. We need somebody to go and die because Zelensky wants you to go and die in Lviv. Right. And then when you see the pictures of the graveyards all over Ukraine, you know, with tens of thousands of Ukrainian flags all over these graveyards, you know, it's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. It's, you know, I'm sympathetic to these guys. This should have never happened. It should have never happened. But to have this comedian think that he's a war commander and him, when they had a deal on the table, they had a deal on the table when that Nazi blowhard, Bojo, and he needs to pay for his war crime,
too. He does indeed. He needs to be executed.
Absolutely. That guy, that blowhard Nazi, and the babysitter, Liz Truss, you know,
yes.
You know, the flippin' Egypt, as the Scots would call it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the other thing they've done is Russiaphobia, cancel culture. They've canceled Russia. They've kicked out They've kicked out Tolstoy. They've kicked out the composers, the Russian composers. They kicked out the Russian ballet from Germany, from Austria, from Italy, from France, from all over the place. You're kicking out and trying to destroy Russian culture in this bigotry, this prejudice that is part of the PSYOP that has been manifesting this Ukrainian self-destruction. Europe is equally maniacal in this cancel culture agenda to betray and to, you know, look at the German foreign minister, the Vibach or whatever that retard girl is. They've all been behaving and speaking in the most obscene, bigoted, prejudicial language and trying to cancel out everything Russian. And what's happened? They've exhausted themselves. They're like the prophets of Baal who've been flagellating themselves and now are on the ground panting and the fire is about to come and sweep them up. And the Russian Duma had said, Russia is the safest country in Europe. And pretty soon, all of the Russians living in Europe and others will recognize that when all of these Muslims start exploding like firecrackers and they're going to try and come back to Russia and we're not going to let them back in. And they're exactly right. Russia is the safest country in Europe, and Europe is about to fall into a dark age of being consumed by cannibals.
Yeah, well, it's going to be consumed. I mean, when you look at the demonstration that happened in London as a result of this Palestinian invasion, It was the single largest demonstration ever recorded in London. Ever recorded. And I was just in London. And I'll tell you, you know, you have the bridge that crosses the Thames by Parliament, and then you have the bridge that crosses by the London Tower. And between those two bridges, it was wall-to-wall people. Wall-to-wall people. I've never seen so many people. I didn't know that many people were in London. And virtually everybody in London was on the streets protesting. Now, you know, Rishi Sunak is a living evidence of the fact, and you have a Muslim mayor of London, and you have a Muslim mayor of Birmingham, and you have a Muslim president of Scotland.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what does this tell you? And of course, Charles himself is converted to Islam. That's why he claimed he took his oath as a defender of the faiths, right? That completely vitiates his oath. He can't rightfully be the king of England. Anyway, his status is, you know, tentative, shall we say. Yeah. But when you see what's happened, the British Isles have become an Islamic nation. Now, I was recently in Ireland, and in Ireland, the Irish are standing around saying, what is this? We have all these Ukrainian refugees who are given apartments when Irish families can't find a place to live because there's no building going on in the country. They can't find a place to live. And these Ukrainian refugees are given an apartment and 750 euros a week. A week. An Irish person that is disabled gets 600 a month. But the Ukrainian refugees getting 750 euros a week to come in and make trouble, do nothing, you know, drink Guinness, slam down some Jamie, and go out and rape somebody on the street. And so this is what you see going on. In Ireland, this is what you see going on in Britain. So Britain is now an Islamic nation. It's not a Christian nation. And the English people can sit and whine and complain and say, we should have done this, we should have done that, we should have done the other thing. Now, forget it. You guys, there was lots of things you could have done. One of the things you should have done was never countenanced Sarkozy going into Libya blowing up Muammar Gaddafi.
That's right.
When you allowed that petty thief to go in and steal the Libyan gold, you opened up a floodgate that is now causing Africans to literally flood into Italy, flood into France. So I don't want to hear it from Macron. Oh, we got too many riots on the streets of Paris. Hey, you did it, buddy. You guys opened the door. Now you get to pay for what you did, right?
Yeah. Honestly, Stephen, I see a French Revolution coming across these European governments and these people being dragged out and hung like Mussolini.
I think there's a very good chance of that. I mean, the way it stands right now, there is a strong right-wing movement in Germany that's rising up. Yeah. Now, the right-wing movement in Germany that's rising up is not Hitlerian fascism, form of right-wing conservatism.
Right.
And it's the same thing. It's also happening in Holland. The farmers are like, you think you're going to kill our farms? This is Holland. You're not going to kill our farms. We are Holland.
That's right.
Don't come to us and tell us what you're going to do. You stinking world economic. Now, this is something that's very important. Vladimir Putin came out and said, Klaus Schwab is a terrorist. Mm. This is exactly accurate.
Yes.
And he needs to be, and this is something that I wish the Russians would do. The Russians need to establish an international tribunal in Kaliningrad.
Yes.
They need to establish an international tribunal in Kaliningrad that begins to adjudicate these international war crimes.
And put bounties on the heads of the people wanted.
I'll be happy to come in and prosecute cases, okay? Or if you want me to adjudicate cases, I'll be happy to come in and act as a judge or a prosecutor, whatever you need, I'll be happy to do it. But they need to establish an international criminal court in Kaliningrad and let countries bring these charges. I mean, look, Netanyahu and his entire cabinet are guilty of the most egregious war crimes you can imagine. They're a complete violation of the UN Charter. They're in violation of the Geneva Conventions, violation of the Hague Conventions, violations of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And Joe Biden is a willing participant. As is Lindsey Graham, who admitted on TV he favors Russian genocide. These kinds of comments that are made publicly need to have a forum for adjudication, even if they are adjudicated in absentia.
Yes.
Even if they're adjudicated in absentia, we find you guilty on international criminal law basis of the following crimes. Whether or not you claim jurisdiction is irrelevant. You're a signatory to the UN Charter. You're a signatory to that treaty. Therefore, if you violated that treaty, you're guilty on the words that came out of your own mouth under your own law, and it can be adjudicated in an international forum in Kaliningrad, which is where the site should be, because it needs to be independent from from in immediate Russia. Because look, if you try to set up a criminal court in Moscow, you know what kind of pressures would be coming on you from the Russian military and from the this, that, and the other? And it can't be in St. Petersburg because there's too much, you know, let's call it local traffic there. It has to be in Kaliningrad.
Yes.
That is the best situs. And so if you get a chance to speak to any of your friends there on RT, Scott, mention to them that this is what has to happen, because I can tell you that the time has come. Now, China has said we're going to have to intervene. There's going to have to be an interventionist with America because they seem to be addicted to war. Yeah. They can't fight enough wars. Why can't they? Because there's nobody to tell Lloyd Austin, stop making a profit for the defense industry and let people live for a few minutes. Yes. Can you say the word peace, Lloyd? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not my vocabulary. I've got Raytheon here that needs more money. Haven't you ever heard of a stock price increase? And we need to get more money coming in.
That's where I see. That's what I see coming too. Is Raytheon and all of these big defense contractors and McLean and elsewhere being sabotaged and destroyed? It's very easy to destroy the factories of these companies that make missiles and drones and everything else in Ohio and Virginia or wherever they are. I see these being targeted in a blitzkrieg fashion. That's how you break the back of the war machine, is breaking the back and destroying the contractors and the factories that make these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to give anybody any suggestions, but all I can tell you is that as a matter of law, and this is one of the beauties of what's happening in Russia, you know, Sergei Lavrov, in my opinion, is the best diplomat in the world. Uh-huh. He's the most capable diplomat in the world. He knows how to speak. He knows how to handle himself. He does very, very well. And anybody who's studying diplomacy, if you're a young man who wants to be a diplomat, watch how Sergei Lavrov does it and learn how to be a diplomat. That is what a diplomat is right there.
Yes.
When you see what Sergei Lavrov and of course, my buddy, Dmitry Dima Medvedev, you know, if you ever run into him, you tell him, I said, Здравствуйте, мои друзья, как ваши позволите? Where Dima is concerned, you know, I love that guy. When Vladimir Zelensky was asking for a submarine, we need a submarine. And Dima comes out and says, the only submarine you're getting is a yellow submarine. You'll be floating in down the Dnieper River.
Yeah. Russia is being positioned. I mean, Medvedev, the whole Russian political establishment is going to go through a change, and they're going to be very hawkish, very militant. Unlike anything that we see today with the mildness of Putin, I think the mailed fist is about to fall.
It's very possible that that's what's going to happen. And of course, you know, the prerogative is on the Russians. And the Russians have said, look, we wanted to be a economic partner with you. At one time, they petitioned to join NATO. They wanted to be an economic partner with the EU and to be engaged in commerce, because what Russia wants to do is it wants to modernize its country. This has been the case since the time of the Tsar. We want to modernize our country. We want to make sure that we're contemporary with everywhere else in the world. We want to be a first world country, not a second world. And by the way, in my opinion, they did achieve, when I was there in 2016, I saw a first world country, not a second world country. It was a first world country. And you're going to see the cutting edge in Russian society right now is very much at the far edge of first world.
And sanctions have helped facilitate that. They've had to adapt. They've had to re-engineer and grow through the strangulation that the West tried to impose upon them.
Well, they took over where America left off. I mean, if you ever watch the band Leonid and Friends, it's a Russian group. And they used to have some Ukrainians in the group, but they quit. But anyway, it's a Russian group. They're playing American music, and they're just smoking it. And what you see is, and it's the music forecast reality, because the Russians have picked up where America left off. Yeah. Back when we were a great country, back when we had freedom, back when we were something special, back when we were moving in the world, we did all these things. We had all this great music coming out. We had people that were alive and vital. And now Russia is alive and vital. And so they now have musicians that are capable of filling these slots and doing this. But it's the same thing with their auto industry. They're manufacturing autos in Russia. When McDonald's said, we're going to sanction you, they said, thanks. And a Russian entrepreneur took over the whole thing.
Yep.
And now he's the one making the money. McDonald's isn't. Same thing with Starbucks. We're going to sanction you. Thank you. We'll take your stores.
They have written into their constitution that marriage is between a man and a woman. They have written into their constitution that homosexuality shall not be taught to children. You want to do something secret, that's up to you. But they are not embracing the homosexual, transgender, no-fault divorce culture. That is what destroyed America. It's destroying the sexual family marriage dimension. And Russia has preserved and protected that and enshrined it, as well as making their religious, orthodox, conservative purity and holiness the cloak, the wrapping of their government political expressions. And that will guarantee their continued blessing from God. And that's why America is decaying and dying, is because we've abandoned that. We've turned away from God's commandments in family, marriage, sexuality, and as a result, we are rotting.
That's correct. And let's never forget that the decay and the defilement of America is exactly proportional to our embrace of the Zionist state. The two are very closely related. Go back and look at all the feminist activists. Gloria Steinem, right? Who do you want to talk about? You want to talk about any radical you want to talk about. They come out of a Talmudic background promoting sexual orientation and a strong push towards the legalization of pedophilia. And everything is about that. Everything is about that. And when you allow that in a culture, when you, as a Christian culture, allow that in a culture, guess what? You become defiled. You become demoralized. And then the next thing you know, you don't have a culture anymore. And the next thing you know, you have the very guy that was telling you, you need to be LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ with a two exclamation points and a dot and a dash. That very same guy is then telling you, you know, you're not even a human being. You're an animal. You need to kiss my boots.
Yeah.
I'm your master. You need to kiss my boots. You're just an animal. You're not even worth it. I could kill you and get away with it.
Yep.
Same guy.
Stephen Pidgeon, we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to give you a final word on what you think Americans need to do to prepare for what is coming. Go ahead, Stephen.
Okay, well, what's going to come now is war. And World War III is going to come, and it's going to come, and it's going to come in a very ruthless and complete way. The United States is going to take a huge hit. It's going to take a hit militarily, and it's going to take a hit financially. In fact, the nation is not going to survive. The nation state, the federal government is not going to survive. America will still be here, but the federal government will not be. And so you need to take steps that are going to maintain a number of things. One is you need to get some preparation, as much as you can prepare at your home, to have foodstuffs and, you know, and you need things to make sure that you have light and heat and all of that kind of thing that you're going to need to survive. And everybody's been talking about prepping for so long, I'm not going to review it. But you also need to prepare your chains of commerce. In other words, it's more important for you to have a network of friends that you can speak to about getting eggs, about getting flour, about getting vegetables, about getting meat. You need to be connected, interconnected with that network so that you have a supply of food, because you're not going to be getting it from the supermarket. If you're in the city, that's your big mistake. If you're there, you might prepare to martyr yourself on behalf of Mashiach, but because you may have agreed in your own heart that you're going to stay and serve until the end. Well, that's fine, but the end is coming, and it's going to be coming to the cities. So you're going to see mass chaos. You're going to see radical die-off in the United States in the millions, in the tens of millions, even in the hundreds of millions. You're going to see radical die-off in Israel, too, and you're going to see radical die-off in Western Europe. So because of this, I want to encourage people to think very carefully about the world you want to live in. Because, you know, one of the things we talk about is that never let somebody from California move into your state, because they Californicate your state once they get there. Yes. Which is what they've done to Colorado, which they're trying to do to Texas. And you don't, that Californication is in your heart. You don't want to be somebody who's going to re-perpetrate or re-perpetuate the failures of America. Let go. Yes. Let go. And go back and look at the foundations that created America to begin with. Go back and look at the Plymouth Compact. In the name of Yah, amen. You need to become a person of faith. You need to trust and believe. You need to follow in the way. And if you don't know your scriptures and you don't know the path, and I'm not talking about what your pastor knows.
Yes.
I'm talking about what you know. If you don't know, you need to know. You need to find out. So you need to study these things. You need to study what is the law of the Bible. What is the foundation? What is the way What is the truth? You may already know the life. What is the way? What is the truth? You need to know these things. And you need to join with fellow citizens who seek after righteousness to build a righteous community. Because if you don't build a righteous community, then you're building, whatever you're building is on sand. And the next thing you know, if you build it on sand, you're going to find an invading army in your living room. Yes. And if you have, you know, and I want to say this too, Scott, before we go. There are lots of young people out there now that are facing the draft. Now, you know, Joe Biden declared an emergency authorization today. He claimed, you know, he says we're in an emergency because of cyber hacking. Anyway, he's just declaring another emergency. And this emergency is going to allow them in their hour of need, when they do declare martial law, they're going to impose the draft. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be facing the same press gangs in the United States that the Ukrainians were facing in Ukraine.
Yes.
Now you got to make up your mind what you're going to do. You got to make up your mind what you're going
to
do.
What are you going to do when they send their guys to grab your son off the street, punch him in the face, and throw him into uniform to die in a foreign fight?
Where we have no dog.
That's right.
And so this is a question that you're going to have to ask yourself. So the draft is coming in, and they're going to draft both men and women, and women will be forced into combat. Yes. Now, thank your feminist leaders for bringing that to bear. Yes. So the fact is that these are all questions that you have to ask. You need to prepare in your mind. What are you going to do when the draft is imposed? Yes. That's a question number one. Question number two, what are you going to do when the dollar goes to zero? That's a question you need to answer in your own mind. And then once you're through with that, then the question is, what do we do as a people? And what we do as a people is we have to reestablish a community of governance that seeks after righteousness. You know, the whole key that caused Russia to rebloom was they sought after righteousness. That's what caused their nation to rebloom. If they had pursued the old ways of the Soviet Union, we want to go back to communism. If they had done that, they would be a completely impoverished third world nation, hated by the whole world again. They didn't do that. They protected the free market. They protected the marketplace of ideas. This is what they did. And they protected essential freedoms. And the essential freedoms are set forth in the Ten Commandments. And if you don't know what they are, then you're part of the ignorati. So you need to learn these things to figure out how you're going to live and how you're going to survive. And then join the community and be humble. Don't come in there. Look, I got my own opinion. Don't tell me what to think. So you get a bunch of Americans together. You got 300 chiefs and no Indians. You know, let the people who know what they're doing lead and keep your mouth shut and your ears open and learn what to do to build a righteous society. Okay. Don't be a narcissist.
Yeah. Come among them and be ye separate.
Exactly. And that's a big part. And you need to do that right now anyway. You need to come out from all of those things. You got your foot knee deep in bribe. You know, you got company that you keep with bribe takers. You got company that you keep with people that work to spread fear, to force people into vaccines. You got friends that really like the idea of making other people wear masks. You know, you got judges that you know are on the take, all these people. You're still hanging out with them. Guess what? There might be piano wire waiting for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is a time unlike any other, and this is a time of survival, and people are going to be inclining in that way. And you're right, Stephen. It is a time to choose your friends and your family that you wish to associate with, and ostracize, jettison, expel from your circle those who are of darkness, of ignorance, there's no health or benefit. These are the realities, and it's going to be interesting. Stephen Pidgeon, thank you very much for joining us. All as always, a very great blessing to hear, and I think this has been enormously instructive for people. I suggest you share it with your friends and family, that you watch it again, that you take notes, and that you prepare for what may be coming. And we want to encourage people. One of the preparations you can make is get the Indian black salve. It is a natural cancer cure, healer, destroyer. I had it for skin cancer that I had on my back. I put it on. It destroyed the cancer. Within 15 days, it fell off. So I would strongly suggest people go to the website, destroy-cancer.com. Buy some for yourself and your family. You need herbs and healing agents for the days to come, because you're not going to go to Kaiser. You're not going to get aspirin. You're not going to get any of these drugs or these things that really don't do any good in the first place. You need to get natural health immune system boosters and supplements. And we've got those materials on the destroy-cancer.com. Get the Indian black salve, because if you develop cancer, I don't care what it is, breast cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer, skin cancer, this goes after it and kills the cancer, and it falls off. I'm living proof. Go watch the videos. Go see the pictures. But this is something, among other things, foodstuffs, bullets, guns, dogs, tires, you need to store up for yourselves your ability to survive for a year. So we've given a great deal of instruction here how to do that. But one of the most important things is for your health. So get the Indian black salve, get vitamins and nutrients and things that will boost your immune system from what may be coming. Stephen Pidgeon, God bless you. We will see you on again. Thank you for joining us on GlobalFreedomTV.com. God bless you. Good night.